This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. The sun is shining out there now. It looks a lot nicer.
It's not shining. It's light out.
That's kind of shining. It's
shining.
There's
no sun. It's overcast.
What? No, it's not. It's bright. Bright and sunny. Do we have Mike Pritzel there?
Hello, gentlemen and John.
Wow.
All right. There's the bell. All right. There you go.
Mike.
Wait, 7:06 and he's spot on.
Now, right. Mike, I don't. Listen, I don't know who you are. I don't know who, because, okay, in one thing, I see your picture in the paper, one of the top earners in all of real estate in the area. Then you're down in Florida helping hurricane people, and now you're driving Uber. What do you ever, I mean, what is it that your wife doesn't like about you being home?
Well, I think that's part. Actually, she knows that we both like to adventure so much. She basically says, I've got to do something extra to pay for all that extra stuff I do.
What a great side hustle, Mike. That Uber. Have you had any bad experiences? Because I just think people should take a look at this. I think it's they know the city. They're friendly people. It's like, oh, no, it's dangerous. Have you run into that?
I would. Like I said, I've got just shy of 12,000 rides in the last 6 years. I kind of started doing it as a joke. And come to find out, I really love it. You know, Mayor, the thing for me is that I've learned a lot about our community that I didn't know before. I always knew we had some challenges, but now I get to see them. But we do live in a wonderful community. And, yes, I've had one really scary situation, but other than that, it's been fantastic. The only thing is you really have to have a stomach for it, right? And what I mean by that is, a large majority of the people that get into your vehicle most people are strangers, are good people. But some people aren't. But you really just have to be able to read the car and understand. I mean, I'm someone who just constantly wants to talk and chat and get to know people. You know, there's sometimes I'm usually start this at 4:30 in the morning, and there's people that are going to work, and guess what? The last thing they want to do is talk to some stranger. So you read the car and you shut your mouth and you get them to where they need to be.
Wow.
What kind of a scary situation did you have, Mike?
Well,
yeah, we'll talk about that sometime.
Okay,
it was not good.
Right.
But I will tell you that the large majority and I only do mornings, and sometimes, you know, when I don't have real estate appointments, then I do it, but I don't do any nights. I don't deal with any of the after bar stuff.
Okay, right. That's what I was going to ask about, yeah.
But I will tell you that this past weekend is a prime example of why I love to do it. I did 111 rides last week, and probably 30 of them or 40 of them were this weekend, and many of those were from people from outside of our community. And Mayor and Mo, all you guys who are proud of being from this community, 100% of the time I ask these people how we did as a community. And this past weekend it's almost funny because most of the people, especially the ones from California, will say, Mike, at first I thought it was fake, that everyone can't possibly be this nice.
That's awesome.
And it is such a good feeling. And, you know, wow. Every once in a while you get somebody in the car that got a beer spilt on them at a Packer game. But for the most part, people are like, you know what, this is incredible, and we'll come back someday. And that's neat. And that's good Chamber of Commerce stuff, right?
It is.
I mean,
that is so great to hear. And I think that's true. So I went to Baltimore to talk to a developer one time. He's the one who did the power plants down there. I don't know if you've been to Baltimore, but just unbelievable what he did. Kordesh was the company. And the cab driver picked me up at the airport and took me to the hotel. And he was telling me all this stuff about Baltimore, this and I got out of the car and I'm like, how do you know all that stuff? He goes, oh, we have to take a test on the community before we get our license.
Wow.
I'm like, I like that. So I came back here. Well, go ahead.
Well, what's really fun too is, you know, well, like you guys, and I know John, I've got my places I like to go. And I have the ability to affect the economy too, because
right.
People get in the car often and say, Mike, I'd like to get a good meal. Mike, I'd like you to take me to a dive bar. In fact, a couple years ago when San Francisco was here for the playoffs, I picked up four guys from the airport. They were from Phoenix, and they were all in their San Francisco gear, and they had me drive around for 45 minutes showing all the dive bars that I like to go to, and then they had me take them to a liquor store so they could get their supplies, and they just couldn't believe what our community was like. So it's that kind of stuff that just makes it fun, and it actually becomes kind of an addiction. I really, really like doing it, and you do make some money. You're not going to get wealthy doing it. But the experience is really cool, and you really kind of miss it when you don't do it.
Why did you paint me with that dye bar brush?
Because I know
to
you.
To save time.
John, I've sat with you in a bar in Utah. Well, not Utah, but some of the places we used to go to back 30 years ago when I used to do that silly chicken thing.
Yeah, it was Utah. So it was Ogden, Utah.
Mike,
that's right.
So the NFL draft is coming up, and there's people, there's students, there's maybe some teachers that won't be teaching. Would you recommend this as a side hustle?
Well, for sure. And, you know, it's one of those things where, but you do have to, like I said, you do kind of have to have a stomach for it, because if you're an impatient person, it's probably not going to be good, because you'll get frustrated with people who don't, you know, they order an Uber and then they sit in their house for 5 minutes. Now they get charged a couple of pennies for being late, but, and then sometimes people aren't the cleanest. So you really, I'm kind of a neat freak, so I always have my car really clean. So sometimes people are getting into your vehicle that are going to and from work, you know what I mean? So and sometimes there's some smell. I mean, there's good stuff, and there's also challenging things that some people say to you, I wouldn't do that.
Todd, can you picture this?
Oh, my God.
Jim pulls up. No. Where is it? What? Oh, my God. Is there a number? No, does anybody have a number?
Exactly. No.
Hello?
That would be me. No, I can't do that.
My car's running. The gas is right. It's up to $2.99, just so you know.
Right. And they do that. You got to pay.
Hello?
You got to pay for waiting time, but some people, if money isn't the biggest thing, they make
Todd
you wait.
Todd, shortfall.
Yeah, I know. You're right, John. You're right. I'm not. That will not be my side hustle.
You really get to meet some cool people, though. I've had NFL referees in my car.
Cool.
If you're familiar with, I think it was NBC, Chuck Todd.
Sure.
Chuck Todd was in my car.
You know Chuck Todd.
Oh, I do. He's a big Packer fan, too. He's big Miami. Actually, yeah. He might be up for the game this weekend. He's a huge Dolphins fan.
Huh?
It could be, yeah. So you do get to meet some pretty, and you get some good stories, and some that I can't share, but I'd be happy to meet you at one of those dives or something.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Here on a chilly Tuesday morning. Man, I am looking at that flag on top of the north, and that is just a screaming right now.
Yeah.
Coming from the, actually, it's southwest a little bit. But that's where all that nasty stuff is right now, I think, right? Down that way? You know, I had a laugh, though. I saw a thing. These four states, you know, extra care, weather is going to be really bad. And it's like Oregon, okay. California, okay. Nevada, okay. And Alaska. It's like, well, I just assumed Alaska might be a little rough this time of year, you know?
Yeah. And they've gone away from really talking about the state and the cities to how many millions of people are affected. Yeah. You know, it's 5 million people here, 2 million people here. It's like, where are they? And where's, I want to know where the storm is. It is in Boston or is it in New York? That's what I want to know.
I will say this, though. They don't do that as much. If I live for the rest of my life, never getting caught in one of those things that you see on the highway where cars are just jammed for miles and miles and miles and miles, and they're just sitting there and nobody can get. What do you do if you gotta, you know?
Remember that?
Relieve yourself. What do you do?
I think you go do it. Yeah. Right?
Just out in a snowbank someplace?
I think people would be understanding. That happened here. Remember Doyle got in a bunch of trouble?
Was that the fog that time?
No, it wasn't fog.
Oh, I remember that one. I just missed that.
It was snow.
Okay.
Oh, did you? Yeah, that fog thing was bad, too.
But what are you doing? You're gonna...
But that snow thing, that was state's fault. I mean, you got to plow the roads.
Yeah.
We pay taxes to blow roads.
But Mike Pritzel, okay, I got one of his quotes, because as we do our show, I'm always blogging what we're talking about and stuff. Yeah. And Mike said, it's not rocket science. It costs nothing to be kind.
That's nice.
Isn't that right? And that's a true statement. It costs nothing to smile. It's just, we talked about that at Bay Beach, these kids that were working there, and great kids, and we hire, I don't know how many kids we hire in the summer, the City of Green Bay, 200. And we told them these things. They cost nothing. And if you can get to know somebody, it costs nothing to call them by their first name. But, I mean, to smile and be kind, there's no cost to that. And if you can't do that, well, find
Analyze
somebody who
my
will.
Dream.
Which one?
Last night.
I will say, I just want to say before that, dreaming is good. Do you know that people who don't dream, like you just dream and it's like, it just fade to black? I never dream about anything.
Analyze my dream.
Precursor to Alzheimer's.
What?
Stop.
Doctor told me that.
Wow, really? Then you don't dream?
If you don't dream, because it's good you're dreaming, because that puts you through the necessary. Why, you don't dream, Todd?
Well, I think it's because I take the gummies now. I sleep so deep, I don't necessarily always dream.
But you have to go through the stages. The
and by the way, the term gummies, it's legal. I mean, I buy my gummies from CVS.
I'm not worried about. Come get me. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Yeah,
I'm right here.
Yeah. So anyway,
here's the toughest he's been in a year and a half.
No. So let me say. Okay. So here's my
you
dream.
Want some of this?
Here's my dream from last night.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
So I'm in some kind of a situation, and this guy kind of talked to me, and all of a sudden he just nails me, knocks me down. Okay. Punches me right in the face. Knocks me down. Then
what's the situation?
I don't really know. Oh, okay, nothing major. Right. Just you know.
All right, just.
So, but here's the deal.
Sucker punch.
Here's the part. So I'm down, and he weighs like 500 pounds, and he sits on me, and I can't. And that is my number one paranoia, would be like where I can't breathe. That's why I'm claustrophobic. That's why I had to carve my way out of a bathroom. I feel like I can't breathe, and I couldn't breathe. And I woke up sweating and breathing hard.
So can I throw this out there? Yes. CPAP. I mean, you may not have been able to breathe because you were snoring and stuff like that.
And that triggered your dream.
You triggered your dream.
Wow, I didn't think of that.
And we've talked about this for almost a year, and that's why he sucker punched you, because you're not seeing it.
Wow.
Yep. And they were just in yesterday. I know. HME was in talking
about
that.
Next week. I'm going next week for sure. I am. I swear. Next week for sure. I'm going to get that test.
Let's get it lined up.
Well, Kent, didn't you say that you can take it home? Well, I don't want to sleep in front of people in a test tube.
I'll give them that.
I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be up all night long.
It's not a test tube. You get your own room.
I would still be up all night long.
It's like a little suite to get.
I don't want to have some kind of dream and it's like, bachabow. Mr. Mino is very active tonight.
I'm going to find that picture of me in there.
Oh, boy. His brain waves are going all over the place.
When they send you a video of you laying there. Yeah.
No, you, the home
come
test.
To daddy. Oh yeah.
Now back to the French cuffs.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, keep the cowboy boots on. Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. What's the matter with you?
Are you
Todd?
Okay, I want you to do that though. I don't think you're going to.
I'm going to.
No, you're not.
Next but, week, okay. I swear. Oh, I swear.
This is a great text.
What?
We throw it up.
A guy who weighs 500 pounds swung on you and you couldn't get out of the way.
There you go.
Can't imagine. He had cat-like quickness, Mino.
It's so obvious. Okay. That's the dream. That's why this guy who can't, you know, really move.
Chopper says, CPAC changed my life. Best thing ever. I'll never not use it. Chopper.
See,
I know. And next week, all I got to do is get through a couple of days.
Okay, but you don't have to go to the sleep lab. The sleep lab, they monitor. They'll put all these stickers on your head, and they're going to monitor your brain waves. And it's deeper than you need. What you need is just this home kit, $250. They send it to you. You hook it up. You sleep. It takes all the information. You're waking up 40 times a minute. You're this, that, that. Then they'll send it. Then they'll send it back to you and say, look, you need this machine that. Has to be set at 12, which is pretty, that's a lot of air coming in. And that's what you'll do.
All right. But okay, when you have, if you have something on your face.
That's weird.
Do you have, I mean, how do you turn, I like sleeping face down a lot.
Like he
or
said.
Or at least on my side a lot.
There's so many different masks.
I mean, I can't
and that's
just sleep on my back.
No. But there's things that, you know, like those people who walk around with those oxygen things, just those little things in your nose.
I never want to be that guy.
I know.
I'm sorry, no disrespect, but I'd rather just stay home and watch old Westerns all day long.
They got to get out. They have those little
packs.
Well,
I know.
Carry.
I understand, and that's fine. I'm days? Just saying me, I don't think I'd be that guy.
In the old days, they had to take that. Like,
I know.
That
we had a guy that worked for us at our Friday night football games, and every night he's walking around with his oxygen thing. Again, no disrespect. People need him and whatever. I couldn't be that guy.
I'm glad they have those things that you can put over your shoulder now.
Yeah.
It's just easier for them. I don't know if it's the same.
I would
volume.
Sit around and watch the Big Valley all day long.
Okay, but anyway, we're not going to do that because you're going to take this sleep test. And it's there's no question you have sleep apnea. None. So that's going to come back. It's just, what are you going to set your machine at?
I told you, my brother even told me that.
If you don't use it 4 hours a night, you got to pay extra.
I know. I told you, my brother, because I sleep on the couch at deer camp.
Yeah.
And he said, it sounds like you, it seems like you stopped breathing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Got this one from Chopper. The home kit is more than a couple $100. I just went through this and I agree with Chopper. Don't take this lightly, John. I'm not. I'm not, but I just, nobody's helping me.
Yeah. You know what? What else John could do? You could go on Marketplace, but.
Oh, I'm not getting somebody's used thing. Well, worked out well for them, didn't it?
Right. That's why it's on Marketplace.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Okay.
Just, you know, you're kind of cheap. I was trying to help you out, man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's, yeah. Kristen, we join us. Porton Point Mortgage right after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course, the Civic Media app. 25 in Green Bay, 23 in Appleton, 22 in Oshkosh, but with a 16-mile-an-hour wind, that's chilly, right, Kristen?
Burr.
Yeah.
Brings it down to like 14.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Chill.
Feels like, yeah.
Hey, you know, you're from Wisconsin when you're wearing a sweater and no jacket. Outside.
I like that. Sweater weather.
Sweater
she
weather.
Says on her sweater. Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation in the house.
Good
Always
morning.
Fun having you here.
Hey, thanks. I love it.
How are things in the mortgage biz?
Ooh, well,
I've been reading a little bit about, well, you tell me.
They're up. I mean, is there any other way to put it? No, they're up. People, we were just looking at it, and I just brought it up. If you look at, you know, I always go to either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac for the weekly averages.
Right.
Because that just tells you where it is as a nation. And right now, the 30-year fixed is at 6.84 to 7.005 for the national average.
Like
so.
I said, I just hate seeing that 7.
I know.
But on the other hand, let's 7%. Somebody's going to give you money for the next 30 years. They're going to guarantee the rate. And you're going to be able to buy a home that's within reason. If it goes to 6, I mean, come on. It's more money. I get that. You can always refinance if it goes back down to 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Which
Well, how? Yeah, what? I was going to ask that because refinancing isn't cheap.
No.
I mean,
so,
what would you think would have to be? Let's say somebody got one today at 7.
Yep.
What would you say would be where they might think about refinancing?
Yeah, well, it's a perfect conversation because it's a conversation we're having daily with people right now. The upside to the rates being in the upper 6s, low 7s right now is the fact that, you know, there's a lot less competition. So we are seeing this time of the year, too, always tends to be less
slower,
competition because it's winter. Some people are locked in leases,
Christmas,
people don't want to move. And so my applications are actually up quite a bit this last 2 weeks.
Oh.
And November ended up being a really good month for us, surprisingly. But what's happening is you've got a lot of people who maybe wouldn't be able to get into homes right now because there's so little competition compared to what it is in the spring market. The other side of that is you're absolutely right. And so many people don't realize that they can refinance. Right now, for instance, we're running a special where, well, it's not really a special because we do it all the time. So I guess that's
not you call it a special, you'll get more business, though. That's okay.
That's
we love marketing. So go ahead.
Exactly. But if you purchase with us, we'll waive the lender fee.
Nice.
So in that case, then refinancing, because I'm always a big one on what's your return on investment to refinance,
right?
Because if you've got a lender selling you 0.25%, you're probably you're better off staying in your rate, right?
Totally.
It does really depend on the loan amount. If you have a $100,000 loan amount, I'm going to have a different answer for you than if you have a $500,000 loan amount on what the right number is. But I always am a big believer on at least, you know, if you're looking, look at 0.5% or more. And that's only in the upper loan amounts. If you're in a lower loan amount, you probably need three quarters.
Oh boy, I've waited longer than that. But okay.
Yeah,
I mean 2 points, you gotta do it.
Oh gosh, yes.
All from like 7 to 5?
Oh yeah, you gotta
jump
on it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you gotta
jump on it.
I don't care if you got a $10,000 mortgage. Just before you finance, because that's a waste, not a waste.
No question.
Yeah, but then here's the other bonus is if you're in a mortgage right now and you can afford it comfortably, let's say at 6.5% to 7% and rates go down to 5.5%. Keep making that same payment you're used to, and now your mortgage is 20 years instead of 30.
Does anybody buy points anymore?
They do. You know,
is that a?
I'm not. Okay. You got some lenders out there who won't even touch the loan without paying a point, and then telling you that that's the government regulations to pay a point, which is false.
That's total false.
It's totally false.
They can't force you to buy points.
No. So what I do is each client has a different situation. So if we're talking about if this is your end all be all and you know you're never moving and those people know exactly who they are. They're like, we're in for good. Then maybe it's worth it. And maybe you pay the points and then you don't refinance later on. You know, because there's a cost for both. But I always weigh the options out. And again, it's all about finding that return on investment. And if your lender can't pencil sell you on what that return is.
Yeah, cool.
You find a new lender.
You brought up a point that when you put the pencil to it, it's amazing. The benefits of that when you said still make that same mortgage payment,
absolutely,
even though that really wears it down, doesn't it?
I think we should talk about that a little bit more because as we come into Thanksgiving, but New Year's resolutions to make an extra $100 a month or to make one extra payment a year, like you said, all of a sudden it's like, you know, we're close to paying this thing off. I know it's going to be a conversation down the road, but still, it's much quicker. Because people, when you look at your bill and pick $2,000, but the majority of that can be going to interest. And it's like,
that's the hardest part is because people say, okay, I've been paying on it for 3 years and it's hardly gone down.
Right. That's why.
You know, so it's okay. Take a 30-year mortgage. For the first 10 years, you're paying almost all interest.
Right.
For the second 10 years, you're basically half and half. And then for the third 10, listen, the mortgage company wants their money first.
Yeah.
The lender wants their money first, you know? And then the last 10 years is your straight principal. So on average, it's not going to work out exactly every time, but on average, and I've run these numbers all kinds of different ways. If you, like you said, I tell my clients, if you make one extra payment starting from the very first month to just one payment a year, you typically pay it off in 23 and a half years. And let's say you're at like a $250,000 to $300,000 loan amount, you're probably saving somewhere between $35,000 and $45,000 of interest.
Wow.
One payment.
Do you know a better way to put, do you know better? I mean, that's
better
one,
investment. Right. I don't know if one.
You would spend $100 going out for tacos and a couple of margaritas these days.
Yeah.
Stop going out one night.
I don't know where you get your tacos and margaritas, but still, well, I understand. The point nice well taken.
Hey, the jumbo ones
are
like
$20. Not the bar I go to on Thursday nights.
the jumbo not, margaritas are
that
like
that is $20. Not the Taco Tuesday.
I go to Tacos and Tappers, but go ahead.
Yeah, tacos and Tappers. Yeah. I need to know where that is.
Okay.
But yeah.
But no, you're right. I think to make save a little bit of money, and but you got to commit to it. It's not like when we have it, because you never have it.
Yeah.
You just got to make a payment.
You do.
The other thing you can do to just, you know, force your hand is to just take out a 15-year mortgage.
You can. And, you know, right now it's twofold, because the 15-year, the investors are really heavy on selling the 30-year. So the 15-year the investors, so the 15-year isn't as low as what you think. Like, it's probably somewhere between maybe 0.25% different than the 30-year. So what you have is a lot of people that want to know what the 15-year payment is, but they take the 30-year anyway. Because there's no prepayment penalties, typically. Make sure there's not. And then you know, you pay at the 15-year amount. But let's just say something happens in your life. Then you can lean back on the 30-year payment if you have to for a little while. And then go back to the 15-year. People like that it's their option then. But in order to get that, you know, like I said, that 23 and a half-ish years, you want to be consistent with it from payment one.
Wasn't there something we talked about one time that somebody came out with a 40-year mortgage?
Modifications, loan modifications. Okay. Yep. So what they did was just extend the payment over another 10 years. So it brought it down for people so they could stay in their
you
home.
You have a lot of confidence in how long you're going to live for more than your mortgage.
The quality of the home. Yeah. But real estate's a pretty safe investment. But I'm just saying, after 40 years, something could go down in value.
Yeah.
Now, real estate normally doesn't, though. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet. But what a sad day after you pay it off and, you know, have the mortgage burning party and think how much you spent in interest over 40 years.
Oh, God. That's people don't like to face that.
No. But they were in a house. You got to look at that. That's absolutely just a part of doing that.
I just want to throw this out here ballpark-wise. If let's say a $300,000 house for all those years.
Yep.
How much of that was interest? How much did you end up? How much did you end? Would a person end up paying for a $300,000 house?
Oh gosh!
After 30 years.
Oh, obviously it completely depends on the interest rate, but I would say double.
Let's say six. Yes, double.
Six, okay. 700,000.
200,000 for sure.
Isn't that funny? If somebody said, "Hey, there's a great house for you," and then it's like, "How much? 600,000? Oh, I could never afford 600,000. But yet you're paying $600,000
over the course of the years.
If you take a 30-year loan, yes, you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think people I'm not just saying youth, but it's important people learn compounding interest, you know, which is
a
great.
Why don't they teach these? Do they now in schools?
We do.
My understanding is, and all the fact checkers out there, you know, don't quote me on it, but it's my understanding is Wisconsin is supposed to have all their schools are supposed to have a financial literacy class by 2025 or six.
I think that was
like it's coming. They're working on it.
Oh, cool.
But they should. I've been lucky enough
totally
to teach
agree.
Financial literacy classes at some high schools, as well as John Dewey at the charter school and things like that, where it's lost. And I think that's part of my obsession with the education side of it. I grew up in a family that wasn't always super great with money. And I think it scared me enough to like really get into it in my adulthood. And then educate others, because my parents were extremely young when they had me. They weren't really taught all that well. And so it's a cyclical thing, right? It's a learned behavior. Kids watch their parents' spending habits, and you can either do so or you can change it.
And I came from just the opposite, where if you didn't pay cash, you didn't buy it. I mean, nothing. Every car my dad bought had to be cash.
Had to be cash.
Whatever had to be cash. No financing, no whatever. That's just the way it was. I think that first generation of people, they didn't trust some of those other things, I think.
True. Right.
That's
they
true.
Really did. Yeah. It's like, if you don't have the cash, you don't buy it.
And now there's so much.
So with that being said, I didn't have a clue about how to buy a house or how to get a loan or any of those things.
Right.
Yeah, that's got to be taught, because if you're not learning it at home, then school's the next.
Where else is it?
But you should learn it at home, I think.
Right.
But if you're not, and I get that. I mean, some people don't want to talk about it.
Well, and some people, to be fair, some of those parents have never learned.
Yeah.
Because the schools haven't been teaching financial literacy for, gosh, I think when I was in high school, I learned how to balance a checkbook. I mean, those don't even exist anymore, do they?
I
wrote a check yesterday.
You make fun of me at times.
I still do, too.
You make fun of me at times because I had general math and then advanced general math. And you know what?
General math.
At least in those classes, we literally learn some kind of things about income tax and stuff like that, that you and your trigonometry and your geometries you'll never use for the, unless you're, are you going to Rio de Janeiro to build a bridge? Are you? Oh, how'd you do in that geometry class? Good, great. You're the guy. You're the guy.
That was not my thing. What we're talking about is in the old days, shop. Home ec.
Yeah.
Financial literacy is in that. It's something that looks.
Absolutely.
It's
everyday.
It's life skills.
It'd be cool if we could have cooking classes, but you know, that's a little too
I got into
easy.
A huge argument one time with a chancellor at UW-Green Bay because he asked me one time, I'm not going to say a name, years ago. He asked me, hey, what do you think about our program for broadcasting and journalism? I said, well, to be totally honest with you, the kids coming in from UW-Oshkosh and Stevens Point are more advanced because they have more hands-on. So, well, we're not a trade school. You're asking me if somebody walks, two kids walk through the door.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And you want to spend as little time as humanly possible taken away from what you need to do to train them.
Yep.
You want them that can hit the ground running. And the ones that have the hands-on can hit the ground running. That's all I'm saying.
UW Stevens Point grad.
Are you serious? They had a great book, Aaron Davidson, and I could go on and on. Yeah. Oshkosh, phenomenal.
They did.
And GB at the time and now it's gotten a lot better.
Yes.
A lot better. But at the time, it was so much more theory than it was, hands-on.
Right.
And conversely to that, though, Johnny, I think it's important.
But almost looked at that as like a negative.
Yeah. Yeah. In that folder is the test I give to my students. You don't have to look at it now, but just things on, the consumer price index,
right.
what goes into that, housing and gas and all. And
right.
Just some very basic things. And sometimes I'm surprised because these kids are in college and like they don't know how much $1 billion is. And I put all the zeros on the board. It's like, you guys realize how much money? And the government throws it around like it's chump change, mm-hmm. And it's just... But I think those kids want to learn that. They just haven't had the opportunity because nobody I don't think they check out. I think they're like, wow, this is kind of interesting. I've been hearing about this. You talk about compounding interest. You save money. You're getting interest on the money that the interest is going into your account. And then you're getting interest on that interest.
All
day. And that's where you can make some serious cash.
All day. And one of the things I think that, where I was really stood out on it is over the course of the last probably 5 to 6 years, especially the amount of, I'll call them kids, but they're not kids. They're young adults, but 20 to 23, right. 24, their parents are the ones I talk to.
Yeah.
Their parents are controlling and don't even let the kid learn. They're going to make sure. So the more you hide them from it, the longer it takes for them to learn,
mm-hmm.
So we gotta make sure that those kids are learning on their own so that they can progress further as well.
Show a house to a really young couple who the girl's dad comes along and see who calls every shot, who does every...
Right.
And God bless them. I'm
God
a dad of daughters.
Them, yeah.
I would whatever, but I'm just saying it's like... All right, we got to start a quick break. Kristen Ambos, can you stick around?
I can.
All right.
Thank you.
Point Mortgage with us. Chris from the Press Times and John from the Golden House all coming up. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, we are back, and we are talking Point Mortgage, I guess I should say, with Kristen Ambrose. You're not just someone who likes helping people with mortgage. You're schooled in it, and you have to take your continuing education to get relicensed.
Yeah, and that brings up a great point, because a lot of, you'd be surprised, there's a ton of people that don't. We're in a position where I had to get my licensing. I have to do about 20 hours of continuing ed for all of my, you know, 8 hours for my state, and then I have to do an hour or 2 hours for every other state license I hold. So I have about 20 hours every year that we have to do. There's a lot of loan officers that have NMLS numbers, which is our license number, but because they work for, let's say, a bank or a credit union, they don't have to take any continuing education.
I have to ask you something. I saw this just the other day in the paper or someplace, but Wisconsin, maybe it was even this area, the length of time has really increased that houses are sitting on the market. Not like months, but you know, even an extra 4 or 5 days is a lot. How does that affect the whole market and everything that's going on?
Oh, well, I think, you know.
Or is that just because it's that time of year?
Well, it depends. It depends. I think if you were to ask a real estate agent right now, a lot of sellers are still, from what I'm hearing from them when I'm talking to them, a lot of sellers are still pricing their houses out of the reality. And so then they sit for a week and then all of a sudden there's a $10,000 price drop. And a lot of real estate agents are like, yep, we're starting it here. It's outside of my, you know, I didn't recommend that, but that's what the sellers want to do and it's their house. So you have to go with them and see where it works. But you've got a lot of people now and a lot of buyers who are like, I'm not paying that for that house.
Right.
On the flip side of that though, overall, the average appreciation is up in our area between 5% and 7%. So depending on what price point you're in, the appreciation is up, but it's not climbing at such a steady rate anymore. It's at a healthy rate right now. They've had
their climb.
Yep.
So I mean, the last 4 years, it's crazy. What's happened with real estate.
Unbelievable.
So yeah. Some of this stuff is like.
The one thing I point out.
So they're not getting multiple offers anymore?
It depends on the price point, but a lot of them, not as many.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or not as many, you know, maybe they're getting three offers instead of 15,
right.
You know, so, that's different as far as that part is concerned, but you know, just the reality of doing business right now is it's still a really good market. It's still a really healthy climb. The one thing I will say about, you know, the 2 years, this is for all the people who are like, it wasn't supposed to jump 20% year over year. I would remind you that if you go back to the housing crash, there were handfuls of years when it decreased and did not incline. So if you would have taken that 5 to 7% year over year for those 5 or 6 years, you would have had the 20 to 30% incline. So I do think at one point the climb made it to where it would have been anyway. However, now it's just really steady and healthy. So we want to keep that appreciation, but not at double digit year over year over year.
Is there a reason? Is it just, and then you teach business classes, so this is like the basics. But apartment rent has gone so high. Is it just supply, demand, and people can't get the houses, so they carry the big stick? What is triggering that?
You look at what they're going to be getting for the, go ahead.
No,
I mean, I don't get rent because there's just no building equity, but what people are getting for rent is.
It's astronomical.
But they don't have a choice. They can't buy the house.
Well, what we're seeing right now is you're actually seeing a lot of rentals starting to sit. Because people are refusing to pay that money. So they're moving back home. They're doing things, you know, or they're putting two or three people in a home to afford it and going backwards. So you're seeing a lot of rental properties actually not rent for the high amount. And I think that's the people saying, I'm not spending $1,500 on a one-bedroom place anymore.
Drawing a line in the sand.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I get...
And if they can even afford to spend that.
Right.
And I get if you don't want to live in your parents' basement. Yep. I mean, that's a little bit... But... There are people in Green Bay who have an extra bedroom. You can rent that out. You got to be safe, interview the person. Yeah. But there's ways. I mean, my kid did that when she went to New York. Yeah. She lived with this old lady with cats. But it was just, it saved her a ton of money.
I've got a lot of friends who have rental properties. And a lot of them will have, you know, especially if they're single, they'll have two or three people in a, you know, two or three bedroom house.
Right.
Or a two-bedroom house has two people and they're splitting the rent so that way they can afford it.
Yeah. There's rules on how many unrelated people you can have and all that. But there's... But
most landlords have that.
Let me say this, though. Does that ever really work when you got a bunch of buddies living in a house? I did that in college. We had like seven of us.
Right.
Three hated the other two and this one didn't land. That one. So-and-so ate somebody's food in the fridge. I mean,
bathroom's not clean.
I don't know. The Golden Girls did it.
They
back
did
then.
It.
Right? Remember
they
that? Did.
All right. Yeah. That is the golden standard right there.
I thought Blanche was kind of hot.
Well, of course she was.
Okay. Well, I liked Maude. Anyway.
It was funny when we watched that show. We thought of them as being awesome. Now they're probably younger than we are.
They are. Right. They were all like 40, 50 characters. Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that crazy?
All right. But point in mortgage, no matter if you're buying a place, you got to go to you first because you got
to
get
come
the lay
to me
of,
first too.
Well, no, you got to get the lay of the land because very few homes are going for cash.
100%. Cash is only about 20% of the offers. And I know that sounds crazy because 20% is
a
lot.
That's high.
It typically is high. However, we were a lot heavier in cash 2 years ago. So the fact that only about 20% are.
Well, that was almost one of the things you had to have to get that accepted offer.
Right. So it is going down. We're seeing contingencies come up as far as financing contingency. Inspections are coming back around a little bit. You know, there's only a couple, you know, price points where maybe you'll see an escalation clause. But again, that's more like that 150 to 250 range. I know it's a big range, but that range is still really, really competitive right now. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm seeing FHA, I'm seeing VA, I'm seeing first-time homebuyers 0% down. Their offers are getting accepted. Great. So it is a good thing.
All right, how do we get in touch with you? How do we get to talk to you? And it costs nothing to come just have a conversation.
No, doesn't cost anything. We just want to help where we can. So you can call or text me direct at 920-606-1156.
One more time.
606-1156.
Cool. Okay.
Perfect song. I love it.
I know, right?
Ty Detmer. Tommy Joe Crutcher.
That's how John remembers names.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yeah, Ty Detmer and Tommy Joe Crutcher.
I was going to say, that's right. You said that before.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Kristen Ambrose.
Awesome. Love having you in here.
Same. Thanks,
love
guys.
Love the way
you present
everything. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk with Chris Leonard from the Press Times. Back right after this.
Won't you stand up and take a bow?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.